Hey guys, Skybook is giving away five $200 free play prizes. Just sign up with skybook.ag, deposit $200 or more before December 31st, and mention code DFS1000 for a chance to win one of these prizes. Winners will be announced here on January 4th. Skybook is also the home of the free half point advantage. Guys, that's an awesome advantage that you could take, getting a free half point, basically favorable lines. You have to squeeze every penny out of those lines. So if you want a great sports book, if you want the free half point, take advantage and move the lines half a point in your favor for free. Call these guys at 1-888-759-2665. Claim promo code DFS1000. Get in on the $200 free play prize. Get in on the home of the free half point and start crushing some sports books.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Week 17 Geeks Vegas Lines Daily Fantasy Football Breakdowns Podcast, sponsored by DFSArmy.com and Skybook Sportsbook. We are back to break down the last week of the regular season, the week in which the most important thing is to try to figure out who has what to play for, who doesn't have what to play for, who has motivation. Let's avoid the pitfalls in Week 17 and let your opponents make mistakes, especially in any sort of high dollar cash game or anything like that. What we're going to do in the entire premise for Week 17 is let's just stick to situations where we kind of have a pretty good idea what's going to happen and not roll the dice too much. So that's a lot of what I'm going to focus today's pod on, because I think that's what we want to know. Where should I stay away? Who's going to be rested? Where are the dangerous situations? We're going to get through all of that today. We're going to figure it all out and we're going to crush it. Now let's get started on the Week 17 slate. And the first game on the slate is between the Giants at home taking on the Cowboys. Now, Skybook Sportsbook has a game total set at 41.5 points, with the Giants home 6-point favorites. Now, you're wondering, hey, the Giants suck. Why are they favored? Well, the Cowboys have locked up the fourth seed, and they are good to go. Now, don't believe the lies that the coaches say, because they're fucking liars this week. So before you text me, before you hit me up in DFSArmy.com Slack, and before you tweet at me at FFootballGeek about why I don't have Zeke Elliott on my list or whatever, coach said he's going to play, bullshit. My expectation here is that the Cowboys will rest their starters at some point. Sure, you'll hear talk about how Jerry Jones doesn't want to lose to the Giants and all that kind of nonsense throughout the course of the week. But the reality is, the playoffs are the playoffs. These guys are tired. They're hurt. They're dinged up. They're beaten up. And the last thing you're going to do is play them heavily in a meaningless game. No coach wants to risk their job getting their player injured in a meaningless game. So it's not going to happen. So you have a Giants team that has no real motivation to play other than pride in beating their division rivals, but they have no reason to rest their guys. Don't need to rest for the playoffs. There's plenty of time till next season. So they're going to play their guys, and the Cowboys will be resting their starters. So in this game, we're just going to play Giants players. Saquon Barkley is interesting. He's about the only stud running back that is going to be sort of heavily in play this week, especially if we take Gurley out of the mix, assuming he might be hurt or rested. So Barkley's the only guy that they have no real reason to sit him. And on top of that, there's probably some motivation to get him the Rookie of the Year award, the Offensive Rookie of the Year, which a big game would help, although I think that's going to one of the quarterbacks, probably Baker Mayfield. But you never know. Barkley's been awesome. So I think the Giants play it out. The other two players on the Giants that are interesting are Shepard, Sterling Shepard, and Evan Ingram. If they're going to play the game and they're playing against the Dallas backups, they should be able to crush. All right, next game on the docket, we have the Raiders, the nothing to play for Raiders, heading into Kansas City, a hostile environment, to take on the Chiefs, who need to win to get the bye. Okay, so we have a motivated Chiefs team. Sound the alert. Turn on the siren. If I had a special effects guy, they would be rolling the siren out right now. There we go. Sound the alert. We've got the Chiefs motivated to win at home, taking on the Raiders. Are you serious right now? All right, that's enough of that. Anyway, obviously we know the Raiders are not good. Now, what happens with not good teams? Bad teams, right? They play okay at home, but they play terrible on the road. If you haven't figured that out yet, then, you know, that's just what happens. So, we have to take a look at the Chiefs' running back situation. Spencer Ware has been out for the last couple weeks. Damian Williams has been going absolutely bananas. If that situation continues, you know, it's a chalk spot for Damian Williams, let's be clear. Now, if you look at the Skybook Sportsbook game totals on this one, they've got the over-under set at a very generous 54.5 points, with the Chiefs as 13.5-point home favorites. It's going to be one of the more popular games on the Chiefs side, and all of the pieces are in play. The biggest negative I see here is just that the Raiders will not be able to keep up. They're just going to take an ass-whipping. And so, you know, it's not going to push the Chiefs to continue fighting for points, let's say, in the fourth quarter. But this Chiefs team is so good. They could put up 35, 42 points here in just three quarters of play. The obvious pieces are Damian Williams, Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill. Now, normally, the secondary pieces, like your Chris Conley's of the world, come into play, but only if it's a game where the opposing team is going to push, at least for me. So I'm sticking with that group. On Oakland, if you want a little Jalen Richard action, you know, I wouldn't blame you, but it's probably not going to be something I'm doing. There are some cheap wide receivers on the Raiders that are interesting. I'd say the main one is obviously Jordy Nelson. The Raiders are going to play. You know, they have no reason to rest anyone. Jordy Nelson's probably retiring after this year. I mean, I would. Or I don't know that, but probably should. Kind of a shot player. But, you know, it's getting lots of targets. So Jordy Nelson and of course, Jared Cook. Playable on the Oakland side, but not a must for me. All right, next game on the docket. We've got the Saints against the Panthers, and this game is fascinating. Saints have nothing to play for. They're locked in, top seed. They're going to rest their starters. There's no question. You will not see Kamara very much in this game. You're not going to see much Ingram. You're not going to see the good players. We might get a chance to see my man, Teddy KGB Bridgewater, at the helm for the Saints, which is cool. But their stars, forget about it. Now, on the Panthers, they're down to, like, quarterbacks that beyond you've never heard of. They're just picking guys up off the scrap heap. This is basically a preseason offense coming out for the Panthers. I am not playing Christian McCaffrey in this spot. He's off the list. Probably going to play him. But the quarterback names are so obscure, with even with that crazy guy they ran out last week getting hurt. Now it's so obscure. Somebody they're picking up off the heap just to start. Heineken is out. Like all of their quarterbacks are out. And they're just picking up someone to man the ship and just play out the string. So actually, we don't want to go anywhere near this Panthers offense. And even the backup defense for the Saints is in play. All right, next game on the docket, we've got the Patriots at home taking on my beloved New York Jets. Skybook Sportsbook has the game total on this one at 45.5 points, with the Patriots home 13.5-point favorites. And I mentioned this earlier, but I want to mention it again. Bad teams play well at home, and they play very bad on the road more often than not. That is something that happens more often than not. Does it mean that a bad team can never play well on the road? No. But more often than not, that's what happens. We saw it the other day with the Broncos traveling to the Raiders on Sunday night. Broncos, bad team. Raiders, bad team. Raiders play well at home. Broncos play bad on the road because they're a bad team. They play better at home than on the road. That, remember that for every season of fantasy football, of daily fantasy football, of this stuff that you ever do. You stick with that. It will work more often than not. It will be correct more often than not. And it will get you off bad chalk occasionally, which is good enough for me. So my point here is, the Patriots are going to smash the Jets. They're at home. They need the win. The Jets are playing for nothing. The Patriots need the win for the bye. They need the win. So they're going to play it out. Jets, bad team. Defensively, I'm not even going to read it off. They're mediocre. There's nothing they do special. You're going to get smashed here. Now, which weapons for the Patriots should we use? That's a tough call. I like Sony Michel in a game at home with his team favored by 13.5 points. Is he getting as many carries as I would love for the price point that he's at? No. For that reason, as much as I played Michel last week, I recommended him. He was for DFSArmy.com VIPs. It was one of our best, I think, for me and my picks. I keep saying this week after week, which is crazy, but it was one of the most accurate weeks I've ever had with my pick sheet. I think it was my most accurate ever. Just nailing every single play was ridiculous. And so many people did well. It was an incredible week for me last week. And Sony Michel was one of those picks. No one owned him, under 5%. The other pick is on this game as well, and he's the guy I want to talk about a little bit. But Sony Michel was in there. If his team is smashing, if the Patriots are winning by and beating a 15-point spread, a 13.5-point spread, and covering it, a running back like Michel is going to be a heavy, heavy part of that. He's going to be a very important and heavy part of that. He's still relatively cheap on DraftKings compared to FanDuel, and that's where I'd be interested in playing him. But they don't throw to Michel, but he had 18 carries last week, passed 100 yards, got the touchdown. That's about what I would expect again here. They're not going to throw to him, so he brings a lower floor if he doesn't score a touchdown to the table, which is why he'll never be a cash play in any game. But he's a guy that you can play in tournaments, because if he scores, he could score 2 touchdowns and break the tournament. High volatility. I like it, but not a cash play. Now, let's look at the other side of this game. Now, I'm not going back to the Patriots just real quick. Edelman usually smokes the Jets. He's in the perfect spot. Jets can't cover the slot. And, you know, I think that's the way they're going to go. Jets have been actually very good against tight ends. They've got excellent safety play. So it seems to me like a Julian Edelman game if they need to score. So I like Julian Edelman here. I don't mind the running backs like a Michel in GPPs. I'm not going to probably be too high on Gronk or, you know, I guess Hogan, who's on the outside. Hogan's playable, but not somebody I'm going to purposefully target. Now, on the Jets side of the ball, it's interesting. Last week, I introduced a new nickname, Jets player. We had to wait, but that's my man, Elijah the Prophet McGuire. And why was he, quote, the prophet? Because he produced a massive amount of profits for everybody that played him on my all-in play last week. You're welcome. I love it when a sub, you know, 20%, 15% owned player goes off. Now, that said, that was a home spot again in a game where a team was probably going to stay in it the whole time. Close spread. Now we've got a road game against a much better team that's heavily favored. The thing that McGuire has going for him the most is that the Jets are going to play their starters through this whole game. They're going to try to win. And they don't have much else going on at the running back position. He's still cheap, and they throw to him. So unless the Patriots, now the Patriots defense has actually allowed quite a bit of yardage to the running back position. They've done that because they've sort of dared teams to throw against them or to run against them. They've taken away the throw against better teams. It's just something that the Patriots do. But against the Jets, they're very game plan specific. I think they might try to force the Jets to throw and stack the box. So it's a much more dangerous spot for McGuire this week than it was last week. I still like him. I still think he's going to get a lot of touches. He's going to be involved. He can break one. He's priced right, but be cautious. Same deal with Robbie Anderson. You know, had a great feeling about him last week, but the coverage from this month, I don't see New England allowing Anderson to beat them. He's a very good player, but I have a hard time with it. The Jets have only one weapon in the passing game. And a team like the Patriots knows how to deal with a situation like that. So I'm certainly not going to be as excited about Robbie Anderson this week as I was last. Now, here we go. Next up on the Skybook Sportsbook, we've got the Packers at home taking on the Lions. Packers are 8-point home favorites, and the game total here is 45 points. Now, neither one of these teams has anything to play for. They're both eliminated. Packers at home, though, have been eliminated for a while, and they continue to, play their best game, and I think they will continue to do that. Unless somebody gets tweaked, somebody gets hurt, there's always danger in the last game of the season. If anybody even feels a sniff of pain, they're going to pull them out of the game. Now, some of the folks in my channel mentioned that Davante Adams needs some, 135 yards for some record, and that Rodgers might be motivated to get him that. I buy it. He's torched Darius Slay in previous games. This Detroit defense has been very exploitable via the pass, and I think the Packers are going to want to get a win here. So I think they're going to bring their game. I think they're going to try to play to win. I don't mind. I'm not going to load up on Aaron Rodgers in a nothing to play for game. There are other spots I like better this week, but certainly I don't mind Davante Adams as a piece here in some games. I'm not going to use these type of games as in cash. I want to stick with teams that need to win, but philosophically I want to. But I like the spot for Adams, Rodgers, and his whole crew, and I like the spot for Jamal Williams as well. I think they're going to continue to run Jamal Williams. There's no reason to rest him. They don't have any motivation to worry about it for next year or anything like that. So I think they're just going to play their guys and try to win the game. Simple as that. I don't like much on the Detroit side. Kenny Golladay, sure. Packers don't have the type of secondary that's going to be able to take a player out. But I also don't love the fact that the Lions have only had one weapon for weeks. It really has destroyed their offense. So Golladay had a big game once over the course of this stretch. Had a big game once in the stretch since his backfield mate, I guess Marvin Jones Jr., got hurt once against Buffalo. Don't want to count on that again. He's got a... I guess it could happen again, but I don't think I'm paying up as much as the sites have Golladay priced for that possibility outside of some crazy tournament plays. All right, next up on the docket, a game with important implications. We've got the Eagles, the Nick Foles magical Eagles, on the road taking on the Redskins. Skybook Sportsbook has a game total of 42 points with the Eagles as 6.5-point road favorites. Now, I need to actually look up who is the quarterback for the Redskins at this point, because I can't even remember. That's how bad it's gotten over there. They're done. But at the same time, I'm much more excited about the Eagles just across the board. I think this is a magical team on a magical run right now. And I have this weird feeling that they're actually going to make the playoffs. They have a scenario in which the Bears need to beat the Vikings in order for them to get in. And they need to win this game. So the Eagles need to win, and the Bears need to beat the Vikings. So the Vikings need to lose. And interestingly, if the Bears beat the Vikings, they're going to have to face Philly in round one. Now, if you're the Bears, I don't know. Do you want to play the Eagles or you want to play the Vikings? I think I'd rather play the Vikings. The problem is, if they go out, there's so much to this. There's a lot of intrigue here. If they go out and try to beat them, I'm still trying to figure out who the Washington QB is. Josh Johnson again? Oh, what a disaster. So anyway, they go out and try to beat them, and they lose. So if the Bears try to beat the Vikings and they lose, they've now showed their cards, and now they have to play the Vikings again the next week, and they've showed them their game plan for all intents and purposes. So really weird situation. But I do have this crazy feeling that the Eagles will get in. And even if they don't, they're on a magical run right now. So fuck it, I'm jumping on board. I'm all in on this. Love Foles, Ertz, Alshon, Aguilar, whatever. And Eagles defense. All of it. Don't like anything on the Washington side. Stay away. All right, next up. Texans. Jaguars. Texans are 7-point home favorites. Jaguars breaking out Blake Bortles for this one. whatever that's worth. Skybook Sportsbook has a game total of 40.5 points, and the Texans need to win to hold on to the division. If they lose, they will lose the division. AFC South is up for grabs right now. If the Texans win, they will win the division. There's an outside shot of them getting a bye week with some crazy shit happening. Don't even worry about it. It's not happening. Like the Jets, the Patriots would need to lose. It's not happening. If the Texans lose, they will be the wild card. And the winner of Colts, Titans will get the bye. Or not the bye, but will get the division and the home game. So the Texans are here to win the game. They're playing the Jaguars, who are there to give up, and they suck. So I don't really like playing. I mean, I still have the same thought that the Jaguars' defensive backs are very good. They've actually been more exploitable via the run than the pass by a long shot in recent weeks. So for the Texans, it's really not like a spot where I'm super excited to get on their passing offense. I do like Kiki. They lost to Demaryius Thomas. If Kiki Kuti plays, I like him because he's going to play out of the slot and he'll probably get peppered with passes and he's super cheap. So, I mean, he's always hurt, but at least he's very cheap. The other interesting spot here is the Texans' run offense, be it Lamar Miller or Alfred Blue. Not exciting, but mildly interesting. In general, though, as much as this is a team with something to play for, this isn't a spot where I'm going bananas on. Kind of want to not do too much. I like Texans' defense, I think, most of all in this game. So they're an exciting defense. Bortles, benching, unbenching. It's like home game for them. I like the Texans' defense here. All right, next up on the docket, we've got the Ravens in a must-win game at home, taking on a Browns team that's motivated to be a spoiler and has been playing very well lately. The Ravens lose it, they're out. If they win, they're in. It's that simple. Lamar Jackson, been doing his thing week after week. Kind of like a high floor, low ceiling, running quarterback situation for Jackson. He hasn't been somebody that's put up big numbers. If you look at his returns, because I keep hearing people talking about Lamar Jackson every single week. I haven't played him, and there's a reason for it. He does not have much of a ceiling. He really doesn't throw for very, very good yardage totals at all. His completion percentage is, you know, in the mid-50s. He's putting up between 125 and 200 yards per game, depending on the game. And that, for me, like, people, you can't play wide receivers that are receiving passes from a quarterback who's throwing from 150 yards, because if they don't get all of the yardage, then they're probably not going to have a great game. Jackson's been putting up numbers 16, 17, 19, 17. Very nice floor, but I'm not seeing a ceiling here. And he's so limited in the pass, and he's got three running backs doing work that he's just splitting time. It's basically an RBBC situation with like four different running backs. So this isn't a spot that I like. Not for me. I want quarterbacks that have a floor of this 16, 17, 18 points like Jackson seems to have, but I want the 30-plus point ceiling, which I don't see with Jackson, which is why I haven't played Jackson at all. No ceiling. Could he do it here? Of course. But no ceiling. Now, on the flip side, Cleveland, everybody talking about Cleveland, I don't use offenses again at Baltimore or players from offenses at Baltimore. It's just my personal philosophy. When the number one defense is at home, I don't target players against them. Not my thing. Just not. Not going to be something I'm not going to do it. In honor of George H.W. Bush. May rest in peace. All right, next up, Falcons at home, taking on the Bucs. Skybook Sportsbook has a game total here at 51.5 points. That's big. With the Falcons as one-point home favorites. Neither team has anything to play for. And yet, the game total keeps going up. I have this vision in my head of this game being like the All-Star game or the Pro Bowl, where nobody plays any defense and just out there playing toss and catch and just putting up crazy points and no one gives a shit. Like, that could happen here. I mean, why else is the game total rising? Why is this such a close spread? Neither team has anything to play for. It's the highest game total of the week outside of Kansas City and their crazy team total that's skewing it. This is the chance to be the one game, nothing to play for, neither team, where things just go crazy. Now, we know the Bucs defense, thanks to Sarcaster in the Geek Speak channel in our DFS Army forums, pointing out last week, as well as the dud by Zeke, which took the entire DFS world by surprise last week, that Tampa plays pretty okay defense, actually. You know, Atlanta, I believe that Tevin Coleman might be banged up a little bit, might be a little more motivated to pass here. You know, a lot of times with veterans, I'm worried about Julio Jones. Just, he's a veteran, and, you know, do you really run your guy out there for the full four quarters in the last game? And I don't know. There's risk. That's GPP-type risk. On the Tampa side, I do think there's some motivation to get a final look at Jameis Winston. You know, are they going to extend him? Are they going to really look at him as their franchise moving forward? I think there's some motivation there to just get out and play out the string. Peyton Barber's super cheap on DraftKings and on all sites. I haven't played him once this season. But, I mean, this is the Atlanta defense that can't stop running backs. My concern with Peyton Barber is I did see a little bit of... Now, he got 17 carries last week, 19 carries. He's been getting lots of work. Let's see what Jaquizz Rodgers did. Quiz, I believe he scored a touchdown last week. He got a lot of targets, 7 for 7. So the thing holding back Barber all season has been just Jaquizz getting the passing game work. Not that that's led to many points for Jaquizz, but he's had a few spiked sort of explosion games because of all of the passing game work. There was a game in Week 10 against the Redskins where he got 8 targets and he got 20 points. Last week against Dallas, he had 7 targets, 7 receptions, did some good work, got in the end zone. It's always interesting that Jaquizz is priced higher than Peyton Barber. It's a tough one, right? All tournament plays. This whole game is filled with tournament plays. On the Tampa side, you know, same usual suspects. Maybe Mike Evans here. Maybe Godwin. We have to see if Deshaun Jackson's going to play. Cameron Brate. On the Atlanta side, it's tough to really get a feel. I see that they're highly projected and all of that. But again, I really kind of have concerns about, are they going to roll out Julio in the last game of the season and give him a heavy workload? I don't know, maybe. But, you know, Julio is one of these always hurt guys and easily the type of player that they could just shelf midway through the game. That could happen. Even if they're playing him, that can happen. So there's a lot of risk with a Julio, and it's going to make him GPP only for me. I've been a fan of Adam Humphries all season. I'm not getting off the bandwagon. I really think that he's been a little underrated. He's a little priced up on DraftKings now, but still playable. So everything about this game is interesting, is playable. I like the Tampa side a little bit more. I think they're less likely to have anybody to be worried about resting. Whereas Atlanta's more of this veteran team that, you know, might rest some players at the end and just sit them in the fourth quarter or something like that. Mike Evans hasn't had a big game in a while. He's priced up a little high for my taste, but he's certainly stackable with Jameis Winston in tournaments. But neither team has anything to play for. All right, here's another interesting one. Another nothing to play for game and a massively low total to boot. So we've got the Bills at home taking on division rival Dolphins. Skybook Sportsbook game total at 38.5 points with a 3.5 point favor on the Bills. Now, 38.5 points is usually a just don't play it kind of number. But the Bills have been an exciting team, so I'm not going to touch the Miami offense here. Not interested. Sorry. But the Bills have been an interesting team. Josh Allen came back to earth last week. As expected. Fully expected it. At the Patriots. Patriots are a team that are going to figure out how to stop a one-dimensional offense like what the Bills bring to the table. But this is the Dolphins on the road in the last game of the season. And I think that Buffalo wants to continue to get reps for and showcase their rookie quarterback and this sort of offense that they're running. And they definitely want to get him more experience. He's going to be out there playing, doing his running around thing. And I'm going right back to the well. Again, nothing to play for. But I don't see them. They have no reason to rest anyone either. So I'm going right back to the well. Josh Allen, Foster, Ian McKenzie, Zay Jones, all in play. Normally I like running backs against Miami, but I'm just not a LaShawn McCoy guy this season, or whoever their Bills are rolling out. So no thanks there. All right, next up, another offense that this is a game I'm excited for. Very excited for. And an offense I'm excited to target with something to play for. We've got the Steelers at home in a must-win situation. They need help, but they know they must win. They need the Ravens to lose. They need some other shit to happen for them to get in. but they know they must win. They're taking on the Bengals, hashtag worst team in the league this season. Skybook Sportsbook has a game total set at 45.5 points, with the Steelers as 14.5 point home favorites. Now, what do we do when a team is home favorite? We play the running back. Who have we been riding for the past 3 or 4 weeks to tournament wins? Jalen Samuels. So why stop now? Question mark. Not going to. Going back to Jalen, as long as the Terminator remains out. James Conner, Terminator, in case you didn't know. As long as he remains out. Going back to Jalen Samuels here. Ben Roethlisberger. Steelers defense. The Steelers are going to do what they have to do to win this game. They're at home. The negative here is, unlike last week, the reason I loved Ben Roethlisberger last week, the reason he was a bold play on the Geeks Pick sheet for DFSArmy.com VIP members, whereas he's not always that, the reason I loved Ben last week was because I've watched enough Roethlisberger to know that when his team is being challenged, he steps up and delivers. Great quarterbacks do that. Okay, so when his team goes down big against a team that can score, he's going to answer. This Cincinnati team cannot score. The Steelers are not going to go down big in this one. So the negative I love Roethlisberger. He's got what to play for. It's a must-win game. He doesn't have the Terminator in there, which means he's got sort of a backup running back type that just doesn't have the same talent level. I love Jalen Samuels in this spot more because the Bengals' defense is horrific. Horrific against running backs. But at the flip, Jalen Samuels is not a player who's going to demand carries. They might just throw for the tutties. They might just toss and catch with Antonio Brown here. They might want to knock the stank off of Juju and his fumble against the Saints last week, which cost them a lock playoff spot, and now they're kind of scrambling and hoping for help. So, Samuels, absolutely. Pittsburgh defense, hell yeah. Ben, Brown, Juju, sure. Like them too. All right, next up on the docket, we've got another, lots to play for. This one is one of the most complicated games of the entire week 17 slate from a what are they going to do perspective, but not from a should I play people from this game perspective, which is nice. So we've got the Vikings at home taking on the Bears as 5-point home favorites. Skybook Sportsbook game total here is 40.5 points. Now, again, let me get into the implications of this game because that's what everybody wants to understand. What are the motivations? Vikings need to win to get in. If they lose, they will be out of the playoffs. Vikings have played very, very good football at home. Now, this is the Bears. They're locked in to the division. There's some crazy scenario, I believe, which they could get a bye week, which is so unlikely, I'm going to throw it out with a win. If they beat the Vikings and the Eagles win the game against the Redskins, which we all expect they will do, then the Bears are going to take on the Eagles in round one. Now, the Eagles are a scary team right now. Super Bowl champion. They've reassembled the Super Bowl winning group, and they're back for more. If I'm the Bears, I don't know if teams really think this way or not. And this is what throws me off. If I'm the Bears, I'm like, fuck that. I don't want to play the Eagles. I'd rather play the Vikings. But I also think that choosing your opponent is usually not the greatest idea either. But that's what I'd be thinking. I don't want that. But more so, and this is where it gets even a little bit sketchier. If the Bears lose to the Vikings, they're going to be playing the Vikings again next week. So the question is, do you want to show all your cards in terms of the offense that you put out to a team that you're probably going to have to play next week if you lose? And more so, wouldn't they want to both not show their cards defensively, but offensively too? There's a lot going on here. It's like a practice game. Now, the Bears could sit back and kind of let Minnesota bring their best game plan and kind of see what they're doing, show that they can't counter it, but, and then next week have schemed up everything to counter that. It's a very tricky situation. In the end of the day, since I'm just going to play it straight, and the straight way of playing it is, listen, I'm not playing offenses at Minnesota, especially shitty offenses like the Bears. They're a defensive team. I'm not playing their players anyway on offense. I'm not playing their defense on the road at Minnesota. Vikings defense in play, and I usually don't play offensive players against Chicago, so fuck this game. Simple as that. I'm not playing anyone from it. Move on. But be aware of, you know, the implications. But there's no one in this game that interests me. I mean, like, you could play the Vikings wide receivers and say, listen, the Vikings, all right, but I'm not going to say that. The Vikings are not going to be able to run. So they're going to have to throw to score. So if you, they're going to be motivated to win. So maybe it's a Cousins situation in tournaments with either Diggs or Thielen. Playable, but not something I'm going to go crazy targeting. There are better spots this week.
All right, next up, we've got the Chargers on the road, taking on the Broncos. With the Skybook Sportsbook game total set at 41.5 points, and the Chargers as 6.5 point road favorites, Chargers have nothing to play for. And yet, they're favored on the road. That's interesting. They're locked into the fifth seed, no matter what they do, win or lose. So, again, this is a game for me that's a little scary. Confused as to why the Chargers are favored. I guess the assumption is they're just going to roll out their starters throughout here. It's possible. I don't really see why you would want to put Melvin Gordon out there for four quarters in a game that's meaningless. Gordon being a guy that came off an injury recently, had some soft tissue issues. Not something that makes sense to me. The only thing that's really interesting me in this game on the Broncos side is their running back situation. With Lindsey out, you're probably going to get a heavy dose of Hoyce Freeman or Devonta Booker, or maybe both. Tough to really predict it. But since the Broncos are home and I think the Chargers are unmotivated, I'm going to ignore the game spread here and assume that the Broncos, who looked like shit on the road last week, and I talked about bad teams better on the bad on the road, not bad at home. And that's exactly the scenario for me. Now, I know the Chargers' defense has been pretty good and pretty decent, especially against the pass, okay against the run, 16th DVOA and whatnot. But in this situation, for me, kind of going to look at these Broncos running backs as tournament plays, going to hopefully try to figure out which one of them is going to get the start. I think it's going to be Hoyce Freeman, but you never really know for sure. But that's who I think is going to get the workload. That's the guy who, if I'm the Broncos, I want to, quote-unquote, take a look at. In the last week of the season, Broncos have nothing to play for. And again, Chargers are motivated by nothing. They should rest their players. They're in the playoffs and they have nothing to play for here. So I'm staying away from that. And if I have any interest, again, it's the Broncos. A little bit on the running back side. And of course, you know, Deshaun Hamilton. They've had a couple guys who have done okay in the passing game. So, you know, there's that. Cortland Sutton and those guys. So I'm not going to get super excited about it because, again, it's hard to really truly know what the motivations are here for the Chargers, how much they're going to play their starters, and I don't want to mess with it. All right, next up we've got Seattle at home. Nothing to play for. Taking on the Cardinals. Now, the nothing to play for Seahawks are massive. Massive home favorites. 13.5 points. So, Skybook Sportsbook has the game total here set at an anemic 38.5. And listen, this is what we know. Seahawks, again, they're locked in. They don't have anything to play for. Let me make sure I have a sheet that I check over and over again. But yeah, the Seahawks have nothing to play for in this spot. So, not clear exactly what they're going to do. I think Carson, who's been on and off like her, dinged up, is a scary play. I think Rashad Penny, who's supposed to come back here, but on and hurt, dinged up, is a scary play. All of it is scary. I don't like what the Seahawks coaching staff generally does. They're very tricky. They lie all the time. They say one thing, they do another. It's a scary situation. Seahawks defense, certainly playable here against a Cardinals team that's turnover happy. They turn the ball over constantly, and they're just terrible, and the rookie quarterback on the road, and all of that is in play. But at the same time, you have an unmotivated Seahawks team that just has nothing to play for. So what are they really going to do here? I don't know. The whole game stinks of a void. Now, there's some talk of the narrative of possibly Larry Fitzgerald's last ever game. And if that type of thing excites you, than Cool Beans. I like the Larry Fitzgerald sort of story last week. Larry will never demand the football. It is not his style. He will never speak up. He will never point to himself. It's just not him. Never been. But his team wanted to get him some extra stuff. They drew up some extra plays for him, and it was very cool at home, and he had, you know, emotional moments in that game last week. I don't think on the road it's the same thing, so screw that. Not touching it. Simple as that. On week 17, you have to make some stands. Say, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen here. Too much mystery. No reason to play. I don't like it. I'm not playing it. Simple as that. All right, last game on the main slate. Got the Rams at home in a must-win game, taking on the 49ers. Skybook Sportsbook has a game total here set at 50 points, with the Rams 10-point home favorites. The 49ers have been playing hard down the stretch. They've been playing hard. They've looked good. Backup quarterbacks. You know, all kinds of things going against them. Injuries. Last week they lost Pettis. Looks like Matt Breida is gone as well. So we have sort of a more narrow potential target pool for the 49ers. The Rams are who they are. Still awesome. Been resting Gurley, trying to get him ready for the playoffs. They need to win to lock down the bye week. Defensively, Rams have actually been very poor against the run this year. 24th DVOA, allowing tons of yardage, which brings up Jeff Wilson Jr. as an interesting play on the San Francisco side. No competition for touches for Jeff Williams Jr. And he's actually played pretty well. Even, let's bring up some numbers. He's played pretty well. One of the Williams brothers. Wait, Jeff, what the hell's it? Wilson. I'm like, Williams didn't sound right. Jeff Wilson Jr. played okay. Targets in the passing game. Obviously, there's that one game where they threw to him a lot, but, you know, and then Breida's been back the last few games, but he's gone now. Let's see what they do. They throw? I just want to see if they're throwing to running backs. Yeah, no. The one thing about this team is they don't throw to the running back position a ton regardless. But again, Wilson Jr. going to get a full workload. 4,400 on DraftKings. Worth a sniff against a Rams defense that's been vulnerable to the run. I think the Rams are, you know, they need to smash the 49ers here. They need to win this game, so they're going to do what they have to. If they don't play Gurley again, certainly CJ Anderson is playable. This San Francisco 49ers run defense is okay, but it's not great. Pass defense, 14th overall DVOA. Pass defense, 25th overall. So that's the way teams have had a better time attacking the 49ers. But I think it's all hands on deck. Robert Woods on the Rams side. We got to see what they do at running back. That's really key. I'm going to be nervous to play Gurley regardless because I think they will put him on the shelf if they take a lead. I think they're going to try to win it via the pass. I just don't think they want to hurt their star. I think they know they need Gurley as healthy as possible for the playoffs, and they're going to do their best to not lean on him in this game. So even if he plays, I don't see a 25-touch type of performance. I don't think he needed that, but to justify his top salary across the board, he needs a lot of touches. He's one of the most expensive players, so he needs to get that kind of usage. I think Gurley could probably have been playing the past couple games. He might play this week, but the Rams could also look at this as a very winnable game without him. And they might say, you know what, YOLO. Or they might suit him up, but put him on the sidelines. It's too risky. Even in a game they have to win, I think there's a lot of risk here with Gurley. And it's about paying all the way up for him. So GPP only if he plays. Definitely GPP only if he plays. If he doesn't play, we can go back to the CJ Anderson bandwagon. Sure, why not? I'm down. Didn't throw to Anderson a whole lot. And I think Anderson might be a trap because he crushed the Cardinals on the road. Shitty, shitty team that they were destroying. This 49ers team is going to be way more competitive. So Anderson could be a trap for 5,400 on DraftKings, for example. Like if they jacked his salary up. But if the salary was cheap enough, sure. But it's more of a GPP play. I didn't like the lack of receptions for him, and he's just not well-versed in the offense. There's no getting around that. But an interesting game. I do like the Rams' passing offense. Again, Goff and all of them, and especially in game stacks. So if the 49ers can stay in it, keep it close, which is possible, then that's where we can get an unusually high fantasy points total in this game. Now, the last game of the slate, Sunday Nighter, Sunday Night Bonus. You got the Colts at the Titans. Skybook Sportsbook game total, 44 points, with the Colts as 3-point road favorites. Titans, it's not clear who's going to be the quarterback. Mariota wants to play. I think it's Blaine Gabbert has been out there replacing him. Tough spot. Tough spot for that Titans offense. Tough spot. Colts defense really, really great, particularly against the run this season. Not a Derrick Henry spot, I don't think, but, you know, Henry has been beast-moding and doing his thing. So, like, I'd hate to get off that bandwagon. He's, like, in full beast mode. And I think if the Titans are going to win this game, they're going to have to lean heavily on that. So that's interesting. Colts side, I mean, they can... I think they're going to have to do it via the pass. Ebron is concussed, so we got to see what the story is with him. If Ebron is out, look for T.Y. Hilton and these secondary wide receivers to get peppered with targets. They got to go somewhere. So we'll have to follow that closely. And the Titans passing offense is just horrible. So, you know, we'll break this game down further in the DFS Army showdown breakdowns that I do for DFSArmy.com VIP members. For everyone else, I want to thank you for rolling with me this entire 2018 fantasy football season with our early previews. If you're not already a DFS Army VIP member, I don't know what you're doing. We crushed last week again. I mean, the number of big win screenshots, the Geeks Pick sheet last week was so on point, I don't even know what to say. When you highlight and bold Antonio Brown, Robert Woods, Robbie Anderson, all of the ones who were the best plays, Davante Adams, when you go all out and go all in on Jamal Williams and Elijah McGuire when no one else did, when they're low owned, and you crush it. That's how you make the money. Those are the plays that the research led to last week, and they all crushed. That's how we do it. So if you haven't joined DFS Army, NBA is going strong right now. We've got coaches monitoring inactives and pivots. We've got pro breakdowns going. We've got an incredible optimizer that gets better every single day. We tweak it. We improve those projections constantly. We're constantly looking for that next edge. It's been awesome, the NBA season. Get signed up as a DFSArmy.com VIP member. If you don't, you never had a chance. Just know, why am I losing? Because you never had a chance. There are other places to go. You can make your own models. Go for it. But most people don't have 8 to 10 hours a day to sit studying this stuff. Most people have a job. Most people have kids. Most people have a wife. Most people have shit to do. But they love playing. You want to play? You want to spend an hour and a half? Getting prep for NBA and then have it all in front of you, all the research, wherever you need it, research stations. You can go as in-depth as you need, or you can just use the optimizer, coach's notes, and still take down tournaments. That's the advantage. That's how you level the playing field between pros and Joes. Pros can study it all day. Average Joes, hey, we've got a job. We got shit to do. So I need you to condense it for me. And that's what we do. You want to play NBA. You want to play MMA. There's a big one this weekend. We're breaking it down. You want to do college basketball? We've got the best in the business breaking down college basketball. You want to do the bowl games? We've got that going. Everything is going. You want to pop in for 5 minutes, play some NASCAR in a week or two or whenever that starts up? You want to do some golf? Whenever that starts up, we've got you covered with the best, sharpest minds for PGA and NASCAR out there, period. More winners than anybody else. Go to DFSArmy.com. Sign up with promo code GEEK. Get 10% off. Lock in at 10% off. The price is going up. If you're not locked in now, by next season, you're going to be paying more. Because we have to limit the size of our team. Especially our VIP team, which includes coaching. No one else does what we do. Good luck finding it. Coaching and tools together, no one has it. Some places have tools that are good. Some places have coaching breakdowns that are okay. No one's doing both. That's what we do. We bring a full service DFS team to the table that gives our members the chance to compete like pros. That doesn't mean everybody's going to win. Not everybody wins. Certainly not everybody wins every day. And you've got to let your talent, your skill, your research come to the front, live and die with your picks. But condensing it so that a regular average Joe can play for, can jump on in an hour and put together a lineup that can compete with the pros and people who've been researching all day. Yeah, that's because we have people researching all day and sharing that research with you and then letting you make your decisions. It's awesome. Anyway, thank you for taking this ride with me this season. I'll be back for the playoff slates early in those weeks, kind of doing a early breakdowns. And of course, for DFSArmy.com VIPs, my coverage will continue all the way throughout the playoffs with my Geeks Pick Sheets, my Players Club podcast, and all of that good stuff. Keep it going. We've got another month left. Let's get it.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.